when we follow people on Instagram, we're not necessarily following everyone because we like their content. Like, they have a certain purpose that they're serving to our timeline. Yeah. Maybe it's something about, they talk about health in a certain way that just inspires you, or yeah. they talk about business and like finances that, and yeah. not a lot of like financial, you know, Instagram accounts are very curated. It's more about, these are the facts. Like, yeah. it's more about, you're on their Instagram accounts because you want to learn something.
Yeah.
Okay, so team out. This is going to be one of my easier podcasts because we are friends for so long. And a little bit of background info for anybody who has just picked up and hit play on this podcast. Myself and Fatima work together at the PR agency that I still work for. And so we worked on a ton of beauty brands together and had the best fun and have thankfully stayed friends ever since. But Fatima has moved on to specialise in influencer marketing. Mm-hmm. And Fatima works for an agency called Collectively here in New York. And she's a senior manager at the yes. agency now. So tell us a little bit about what your role consists of at Collectively.
Yes, so I started off at Collectively as a manager on the community team. And within a year, I made it to the senior manager role, which is a really big goal of mine.
Nice bump.
Okay. And I think my work involves many different layers.
Yeah.
And I think that first important layer is that I spearhead the casting and recruitment
right.
across multiple brand campaigns. But in order to do that type of work, you have to have the passion and you have to be capable of understanding brands,
mm-hmm.
understanding what they need and what they want. But you have to be willing to lend your experience and your expertise to them.
Yeah.
And that's another layer of it. We have a strong community of influencers, content creators. I mean, so many people refer to them, you know, the work that they do as many different things. And building and maintaining relationships with that community is like a key part of my role.
Yeah, so you're a huge matchmaker mm-hmm. in that relationship with the brand and the influencers.
Yes.
And we'll get onto that a little bit later
yes.
about, you know, the kind of that match and how important
mm-hmm.
that is.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you go about identifying those influencers? Because
mm-hmm.
there's so many. And in Ireland, mm-hmm. a lot of my listeners are based in Ireland, and
mm-hmm.
there is so many in Ireland, but there's so many here in New York
mm-hmm.
and in the US. Because when we worked together at Pierce Matty in the agency,
yeah.
we were still doing a lot of influencer work
mm-hmm.
as part of, you know, the PR support. And at that point, like I'm at the point I'm at
yeah.
now, I'm still finding so many more influencers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So how do you use a system, or how do you identify those influencers?
Yeah, so we have a community of over 15,000
okay.
influencers. So this community consists of content creators who have either signed up through our website, sent us an email saying, hey, I would love to be a part of the Collectively community to know what campaigns you're working on.
Right.
Or these have been recommendations from an agency,
okay.
from a talent agent
okay.
who represents talent. We'll put their roster in our community, and we also get their talent on campaigns as well.
Yeah.
We also have a ton of different discovery tools in our
mm-hmm.
back pocket, and this gives us access to millions of profiles.
Okay.
But I think in this role, we're not afraid to look at our phones midday and open up the Instagram app and discover
right.
talent. Because we work
right
on
there
so
and then.
Many,
yeah.
yeah, we work on so many different custom recruitments where you have to step outside of your comfort zone
mm-hmm.
and step outside of the resources that you have,
mm-hmm.
and just go through
observe.
Yeah, and just
mm-hmm.
observe what's on your timeline.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, when you're working so closely with brands, you develop this sense of you're always recruiting in the back of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be on the weekend, I'm just scrolling through Instagram and I may come across someone and I'm like, wow, this
mm-hmm.
person's like great for our EOS program.
Right.
So it's
yeah.
always in the back of my mind, and then I'll save their profile and show it to someone at work that Monday.
Right. Yeah. So you're yeah.
Yeah.
always working.
Yeah.
So when you're getting people can pitch themselves to
mm-hmm.
Collectively, but you're not their managers. They're just part of the Collectively
yeah.
community.
Yeah.
So
just to be clear, you're not their actual managers or representatives. You're just, you know, they're part of the collectively community. Mm-hmm. How do you filter through, I'm going to say it, like, the bullshit? Because there's so many people out there, and even people who have a lot of followers and have kind of earned a lot of street credibility, unfortunately have, you know, mm-hmm. fucked with Instagram and purchased some followers or purchased some bots. So you get people mm-hmm. who are pitching themselves. How do you filter through all that clutter?
So we have a tech stack of the best technology in the industry, mm-hmm. and one of those partners is Creator IQ. They're a database that allows us to assess and observe mm-hmm. audience health. Mm-hmm. We're able to determine, like, what percentage of your audience is based in the U.S. or based in other countries.
Right, so what's audience health?
So audience health is the amount of your audience that is vague.
Okay, basically.
It's basically like a percentage of, okay, you have a strong audience health. For example, my audience health is like 80%.
Okay, because you're healthy.
I mean, I'm following you. Well, that too.
She's thriving.
Yes. Yeah, so it's being able to determine, like, what's this collaborator's credibility?
Right.
You know,
right.
by these different numbers and, you know, just beyond their engagement rate.
But everyone's going to have a bit of fake engagement because of the way Instagram is set up.
It's not something you ask for.
Right.
It's just kind of given to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you have tools that are able to establish audience health. Do you think that there's certain agencies who don't go as in-depth as this? Because I've seen campaigns, I've mm-hmm. seen influencers mm-hmm. who have fake followers in the mm-hmm. industry, who have brand partnerships left, right, and center. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how are they not establishing the health of this person's audience? Like, how do you think that agencies kind of, just over, like, they don't look as deep into it as you guys do?
I mean,
is that your competitive edge, do you think?
Yeah, I think that at Collectively, we are very keen on, we want win-win partnerships between the collaborator and between our brand partners.
Yeah.
So we don't want to give false claims to our brand partners or give them information that they can open up their Instagram app and find for themselves.
Yeah.
It's just it's about proving that this collaborator is credible.
Right.
Because if you don't, it's kind of like a slap in the face.
Yeah.
If someone else tells you, well, we just figured out that this girl has X amount of fake followers. Then you kind of have to, make up an excuse around why you kind of let that slip through the cracks.
Yeah.
So it's important to
see the real facts.
Yeah, exactly. See the real facts and bring that to the client's attention from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's okay that if a brand wants to work with a specific collaborator, but then mm-hmm. you do your research on them and you realize, well, this collaborator doesn't really meet the U.S. audience that you want to target.
Yeah.
I think it's about having that conversation and feeling confident that we can find someone better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can find someone who meets what you're looking for.
Right.
Or we can work with this person, but here's what's going to be the result of working with them.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah.
If they're really pushing, you know, to have somebody specific.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of data. It's very much data driven.
Mm-hmm. But it also includes research too.
Right.
And it's interesting because I just hosted a rationale session with my team. And a big part of our job is being able to advocate for the people that we're presenting. So if I present you mm-hmm. as an influencer to a brand, I want to state X, Y, and Z of why you're great for that brand,
mm-hmm.
but also what data backs you up for being great for that brand.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that, you have to do your research first.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes, Instagram is a great place to start, but you don't stop there.
Right.
Run a Google search, you know, mm-hmm. try to figure out, I mean, what other articles are coming up online about this collaborator? Do they have a blog? Do they have more of a story to tell?
Yeah.
So I think that for me, it starts with research.
Right.
And then you kind of dive into the data.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're utilizing those tools to identify really the facts are there.
Yeah.
And do you see a lot of fakeness? Like, do you see that, like, straight out the gate? Like, you know, as somebody who's been doing this for a while now, mm-hmm. and you're the one presenting these influencers to brands to mm-hmm. say, hey, you know, I think these influencers are a good option. Can you identify pretty quickly, because like with just, you know, by looking at an Instagram influencer, whether or not mm-hmm. like, you know, the red flags to look for?
I think that there's certain things that are very obvious. Mm-hmm. Like if a collaborator has, let's say they have 100K following, and mm-hmm. then you're looking at their Instagram account, they're getting like 5 comments, mm-hmm. or within an hour they have 90 likes. The next morning they have 500 likes.
I've seen that though. So how does that work? It's just spots?
I mean, I'm not sure if it has to do with it's being picked up through hashtag at a certain point, and like more likes are just rolling in.
Right.
But I think that, but I also have friends who are influencers and their likes are coming in consistently.
Right.
It's, and it doesn't stop within right. an hour, and then it picks back up to like 1,000. So I'm not sure if, I mean, perhaps they are investing yeah. in some type of like yeah. fake followers. That's or it could also have to do with hashtags again.
Okay. Yeah. Because typically when you post a photo, you get like, you're getting likes kind of consist, like it might be a, like a big mm-hmm, peak, and then you're mm-hmm. getting likes kind of consistently, and then it's just like it just falls to the wayside, but it's like a drop, yeah, like a slow yeah. drop.
But I wonder, is it also the algorithm as well? Because we're still, when we scroll through our timelines, you can see photos from 7 hours ago,
right? Or 13 or 15 hours ago.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Do you see, so sorry, what other like red flags do you see then with influencers? Is the quality of the content very important to the brand partnerships?
Oh, I think quality of content is like king here. Like,
do you think that over influence though? Because if somebody is like posting, like I've seen influencers have like hundreds of thousands,
yeah.
and they're not posting like cute curated photos. Yeah. Their feed isn't curated, because personally I don't believe in a curated feed. I believe in good content, but I don't believe in a curated feed. I'm like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Who has the time?
Who has the time to look, oh, look, those color patterns yeah. don't match. Like, nobody is looking at your color patterns on Instagram. But people are mm-hmm. subconsciously picking up on the quality of content that somebody's putting out. But I've seen influencers with mad amount of engagement mm-hmm. who are putting up just like on the fly stuff that's not edited, videos, mm-hmm. whatever they feel like putting up. And that's influence, because it's authentic. Mm-hmm. How much is it of, you know, authenticity versus, oh, she or he has great looking photos?
I think it depends on what campaign we're talking okay. about and yeah. what brand we're working with.
Yeah.
Because one brand may say, we need high quality content because we want to repurpose those assets. Mm-hmm. So
right.
in that case, I'm looking
you
for
need
high
to have,
quality content.
Yeah.
But again, you still want the person to influence their audience as well on the products that they're promoting.
Yeah.
So sometimes you need to find that balance.
Uh-huh.
I think it's having an awareness that everyone's feed is different. Everyone is serving a different purpose on
yeah.
Instagram. But I agree. I get where you're coming from 100%. There are times when I scroll through my Instagram and there's people who I follow where I may not necessarily love the photo,
right.
but I love them.
Right. Right.
I love them, and I love the influence that they've had on their audience, and
right.
they're also inspiring me at the same time. But I think that when we follow people on Instagram, we're not necessarily following everyone because we like their content. Like, they have a certain purpose that they're serving to our timeline.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something about, they talk about health in a certain way that just inspires you, or
yeah.
they talk about business and like finances that, and
yeah.
not a lot of like financial, you know, Instagram accounts are very curated. It's more about, these are the facts.
Yeah.
Like, it's more about, you're on their Instagram accounts because you want to learn something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's about having that lens on, what is the client looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's important to this campaign? And you have to be able to step outside of what you as a person, like
mm-hmm.
on a weekend, are interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to have more of like a closing, like specific eye
yeah.
for your matching
yeah.
with the campaigns. Going back to you being a matchmaker.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with brands every day, I'm dealing with brands every day. Some brands come to you and say, we've done this before, it hasn't worked, mm-hmm. what can you do for us? Or if you're pitching new business, mm-hmm. which may not be the operation style of the agency, and you say, we know that you've done before, we know that you didn't feel influencer marketing mm-hmm. has worked for you, how do you kind of attack that conversation?
So we,
because there is brands out there that mm-hmm, that are mm-hmm. skeptical or have mm-hmm. done it and unfortunately have failed
yes.
at it.
So we have an amazing new business team, our brand partnerships team actually, who works at the beginning stages of building those relationships and solidifying campaigns.
Yeah.
And I'm almost certain that they've run into those obstacles where brands have not been so keen on trying something that they've tried before.
Right.
And what we do is it's our responsibility to pitch them and put a proposal in front of them that can show them, okay, you may have done this before, but this is what we can do for you that's
yeah.
different.
Right. So you're basically, so you're kind of going to analyze the mm-hmm. previous work that has been done and you're going to say, well, this is what we're going to do different.
Yeah, this is what we're going to do different. These are the different collaborators that we can target within every tier. Like, we're giving them a recommendation of
mm-hmm.
what we can do for them
mm-hmm.
and how we see the success of their of this campaign.
Yeah.
And it's up to them if they want to give it a shot. But, I mean, I think our team has secured so many amazing, you know, brand partnerships.
Yeah.
Just to give you an idea of some of the brands we're working with now, Delta Airlines.
Wow, okay.
Converse,
mm-hmm.
EOS. Absolute Vodka,
mm-hmm.
Intuit, which is a brand I never thought that I'd be working for, and it was one of my favorite campaigns recently.
Right.
I got to work with so many creative collaborators who really use Intuit and who can advocate for this program.
Right, what's that?
So Intuit, it's basically a tool that helps you run your small business. So everything
huh.
from bookkeeping to invoices to paying
Dang.
Your team. And
oh,
you can,
wait.
Yeah,
oh,
so you can be.
I know it,
yeah.
Yeah,
so you can be just an influencer
yeah.
or you can have up to maybe like 20, even more.
I
know,
thought
people.
It was called Intuit, like as in like intuition.
No, Intuit. Intuit.
Yeah. But I thought it was like Intuit, like intuition.
Oh no. No. So it's called Intuit QuickBooks.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome.
Zappos
cool.
and also LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
LinkedIn is a platform that we use every single day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I discovered Collectively on LinkedIn.
Yeah. So actually, that's interesting. So talk to me about the different platforms, because a lot of the conversation that we've had already is about Instagram.
Yeah.
So do you ever get campaigns in the door that, you know, they're looking for Twitter or they're looking for something else?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how's TikTok? Like, is that
so
a thing?
Yeah, so it actually is. So this is really interesting. I worked on my first TikTok campaign with a large retailer that's very well known. And this is when TikTok first rolled out, and we all thought it was just for, like, the Gen Z audience.
Yeah.
And then...
Which is...
It still has that stigma.
It's
still true, but I think that now there's more and more collaborators.
Yeah. And I was actually listening to a podcast this morning
mm-hmm.
that they were saying that Kevin Hart is hugely active on TikTok.
Oh, wow.
And I've followed him, and I've seen his TikToks that he's reposted on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been paid by TikTok,
mm.
which is fine.
Yeah.
He's been paid by TikTok to be on TikTok.
Yeah.
So I was like, Kevin Hart, like, fucking loves TikTok. And he's not really good at it. So somebody
yeah,
needs to teach
funny,
Kevin Hart
yeah.
how to use TikTok. I mean, anything he does is, like, hilarious.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, I just was kind of, you know, oh, my God, Kevin Hart is really getting into it. And then I've seen, like, other celebrities get into it. But they've actually been paid by TikTok. So for me, that's fine. But,
uh-huh.
like, it sounds like TikTok are trying to push it outside of that
mm-hmm.
Gen Z, you know,
yeah.
Group.
Yeah, for example, there's like one collaborator I follow, Brittany Xavier on Instagram.
Okay, yeah, I follow her
and
too.
And she has a TikTok and it's amazing. Like, I would have never expected her to be on TikTok.
Right.
But the videos are so enjoyable because she's like changing her outfits like in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
She's like wearing one bag in five different colors, but like in a photo. It's beyond, like, it's unreal. And then like her husband and her daughter are a part of it.
Right.
So it's like very, very like interactive. And it, one day I just ended up watching all of her TikTok videos.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yes. But just like back to the, how we were talking about, you know, TikTok. So this was around the time when TikTok first came out. Mm-hmm. I had to, since I knew that we were going to work on our first TikTok campaign, I had to get the app on my phone.
Yeah.
What I do like is
when
that.
When was this?
This was in January. No, December, January.
Okay.
Around that time. So I put the app on my phone. And what's nice is that you actually don't have to have an account to have the app on your phone.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Can you can just still like scroll through and explore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I had to, it was my job to do recruitment for collaborators, you know, on the TikTok platform.
And you're like, I just don't
know.
And
I was like, wow. Like, so at the same time, it's like a learning curve because I'm teaching myself how to use TikTok and educating myself at the same time, but I also got to do my work and find people.
Mm-hmm.
So what's great is we have a strategy team that is just amazing. They take a really deep dive into the way we look at research and to the way that we view new platforms on the rise. So they basically gave us like a little intro to like what's TikTok, like mm-hmm. what's buzzing about it, how do you use it. They made themselves accessible for answering the questions that we had about it. How do I see views versus how do I see likes?
Mm-hmm.
So it really became like a partnership between like the community team, our collaborations team, and our strategy team to conquer this one, like our first TikTok campaign.
Yeah,
and we ended up activating two collaborators because I mean after a while you kind of just get the groove of it, like any new app that's
uh-huh.
out there. You scroll through it, you educate yourself on it, and you're like, okay, I kind of got the groove of this.
Okay, yeah.
And you just kind of start to make note of who you think's great for it.
Yeah.
And you advocate for them, but it's also about educating the brand on what they may not know about this new platform. Because the brand at the time is so used to how things operate on Instagram, you kind of need to remind them that. Well, this is TikTok.
Yeah.
So the content is not going to be as high quality. The content's going to be like more raw and more authentic.
Yeah.
But that's what you
it's
want.
It's not going to be polished. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to be as polished, but it works.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we found two amazing TikTok collaborators and
it
was a successful campaign.
That's so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting. Yeah. And since then, we've also done another TikTok campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's exciting. I'm interested to see is TikTok going to stick around or is it
right.
What's to come of it? But I mean, it's kind of really made its mark.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about other platforms in terms of maybe Twitter,
mm-hmm.
LinkedIn you mentioned earlier.
Yep.
I'm not sure about Facebook, but is there anything else that I'm missing?
Pinterest.
So okay. Wow.
Twitter and Facebook. I know.
I didn't expect you to say that.
Fun fact, I still have a Pinterest.
I know, me too. I mean, I use Pinterest like weekly.
I
don't use it daily, but I definitely use it weekly.
Because I get inspired a lot.
Yeah.
I use a lot of templates on there too, like
right.
I can use on Instagram. So
okay,
it's
you
nice.
Have to show me that after.
Yeah, so I think that for different programs, we get different ads.
Yeah.
So one brand may say, for this campaign, we want the collaborator to do one Instagram post, one Instagram story, 3 frames, one Twitter post, one Facebook post. Like, they basically need to repurpose those assets across Twitter
right.
and Facebook.
Right.
Which is very important to a lot of brands.
Yeah.
Pinterest, I'm seeing it less and less.
Okay.
Perhaps maybe like a home design type of company would want that.
Okay. Okay.
But
is there people out there still creating, like, putting original content on Pinterest? There is?
I mean, I can imagine that there are.
Yeah.
I think so. Like, I think Pinterest is still, like, a big thing.
Like, I would never be like, oh, I follow that person on Pinterest.
Yeah. I mean, I don't follow anyone on
right.
Pinterest.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Like,
yeah.
how different everything, like,
exactly.
the apps are.
Exactly. Mm. But then there are people who, they follow so many people on Pinterest. Like,
mm-hmm.
they're really engaged in the app.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think it's about stepping outside of what we do on
mm-hmm.
a day-to-day and what we're accustomed to and thinking that there's a whole different world out there. People
yeah.
who are doing things that we are not doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and this is like a perfect example. I've worked on a program where we needed to recruit fishermen.
What? The diva.
Yes. Yes. Where we needed to recruit fishermen. So when this
Hashtag fisher. Hashtag fisherman.
Hashtag salt water. Like, yes. So this
Hashtag salty men.
And it was such a successful campaign, though. Yeah, so we had to recruit fishermen. But believe it or not, there is
a tuna company.
No. So it's a retail company that had fishing performance gear.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, but honestly though, all jokes aside, it's a huge thing.
It's a huge thing.
Yeah. Fisherman got those followers.
They got more than us, girl.
Probably.
Yeah, it's a huge thing. So, I mean, when a program was first given to me, I thought, fisherman, wow, you know, like,
yeah.
Is that even real? Like, does it exist on Instagram? Like, aren't they doing other things like fishing? Like, they're on it. They have time
for it. They're trying to catch fish.
Yeah.
They have, like, their wire in the water, whatever it's called, and they're just, like, scrolling through Instagram. Yeah. Being like, what's
up? It's amazing because all it took was finding. Now, this is where I've had to step outside of my resources and do the custom recruitment. So it just started with going on Instagram, putting in a hashtag.
Yeah.
And there it was, like, right before my eyes, there were millions and millions, like an overwhelming amount of men and women who were content creators, but they were very experienced and, like, experts in fish and, like, in fishing.
Yeah. It's not a sport, though.
It is a sport. Oh. It is a sport.
And how many calories do you burn?
Are you considering it?
No. I would die if I had to, like, go near a fish. It freaks me out.
Girl. I'm scared of every single animal.
Yes,
I think you know that. I think you know that.
I don't do dogs, okay? Me and Fatima don't do dogs.
Oh my god.
Okay, so there's a ton of fishermen, okay, who knew?
Yeah, who have hundreds of thousands and millions of followers.
Yeah.
They have YouTube channels.
Wait, millions?
There are some who have millions. There are some who have millions, and then they have YouTube channels because some of them, like,
it's a niche, though.
Yeah,
like,
it
when
is.
You think about doing Instagram or mm-hmm. doing social media well, if you, like, are obsessed with fishing or, like, collecting, like, mm-hmm. Pokemon stuff,
yeah,
like, you're gonna win because if it's a niche, people are gonna, like, follow.
And you want to be a part of a community who shares that same interest as you.
Yeah. If you go, like, super narrow, you're gonna be successful.
Yeah.
I just love everything, so that this will never work for me. You know, like, I love everything.
Yeah, and so. I mean, thanks to that campaign, our community now includes a hefty list of fishermen, which is amazing which is amazing because it just shows the diversity in our community, which I really love.
Right, but also the power of social media.
The power of influence.
That it can be so diverse mm-hmm. and everything else. So, do you think that it's becoming easier in 2020? So 2020 social media. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's becoming easier and easier to find basically clear out fake influencers?
I think it is becoming easier because we have the resources at our fingertips.
Uh-huh.
I think it's still going to have its challenges.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some accounts where you look at and you're almost a bit amazed that this person uh-huh. has fake followers, or it's not that obvious, you know, to just open up your Instagram and looking right away. It may not be that obvious for certain people, but when you have the tools to look deeper, then you can get the facts.
Right, yeah. But, like, as a brand, like, mm-hmm. It's really worth their spend to go all out and hire a collectively or an agency mm-hmm. that has those tools mm-hmm. to really look at the back end of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing, because if Instagram mm-hmm. removes the likes, because they've been testing mm-hmm. that out in so many different markets, mm-hmm. and if they remove the likes, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Like, it matters for the end consumer, it matters for the user, but in terms of the work that you do, mm-hmm. it doesn't really matter if you're saying that you have all this data that you have.
Yeah. So when it comes to, we've been having this conversation, and me and you personally, mm-hmm. about Instagram likes, like, being removed, like, is it a thing? Is it, you know, not going to be a thing? And I think we are still in that stage where there are hundreds of people who can't see their likes, mm-hmm. but then there's still millions of people who can see them.
Yeah.
So this hasn't affected our agency yet, but we are thinking ahead. We're making predictions. We're doing the research, and we have an internal task force who can, like, help identify those trends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where does things stand with removal of likes?
Mm-hmm.
And what we also like to do is when news like this surfaces, we like to educate our community on it. It's like, don't panic. Like, we're on top of it as well.
Right.
Here's a few things to keep top of mind. Here's how it may affect you.
Yeah.
But, I mean, thankfully it hasn't affected us, because I think likes are just, it's just a very small portion of influencing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can open up your Instagram app and, yes, you are drawn to likes. Like, how many likes does this photo have? That's obvious. Like, a lot of us are, because Instagram started with that idea of getting likes.
Yeah.
But from working in this industry, I've been able to understand that it goes so much deeper than that. Impressions, how many saves someone is getting, how many times the brand is mentioned in their comments. Mm-hmm. Like, are you having authentic conversations about the product you just posted? Mm-hmm. You know, that person may be receiving DMs about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many other different things that go beyond the surface.
Right. Yeah. Beyond that's likes. What you guys do.
Yeah. But I thought it was interesting, because even you told me that you had likes, then they got removed, and then they were back again.
Yeah, I think it was when I was, so they've been removed in Ireland for a while, and then they were testing out the States, like the US, and they didn't remove them while I was in the US, but when I went home, it kind of took a few days, because I was home for 2 weeks at Christmas, and then it took a few days to kick in, and then they were removed, and I was just like, this is so weird, but I knew that most of my followers don't see likes, which definitely took a hit, because it made my likes go down, because people probably didn't really feel like they needed to like as many photos, because it didn't make that number go up, if that makes, like, it doesn't have that kind of same effect.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, and others.
Yeah, because on the back end, you're still able to see your likes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
your audience just can't see them.
And so when I got back to the US, it's dead that way. I still couldn't see likes for a while, but then it clicked back in.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I was part of the US pool, because most of my time is spent over here and my location, or part of, like, the Irish pool. You know, I don't know whether it was, like, which market, because I did travel, or was it just a coincidence?
Interesting. Yeah. Though. I didn't even look at it that way.
Yeah,
when
we
talked about it, you were traveling. Like, you just...
Yeah, I was, like, just between, like, the two, like, you know, Ireland and the US.
Now, wait, do you have friends in Ireland who all their likes are removed?
Yeah, most people that I know, their likes are removed. It's very rare to see somebody in Ireland whose likes aren't removed. Now, it could be wrong, but in terms of, like, the people that I've, like, reached out to, or that I've used their phone, or, like my mom, my brother, like, everyone, their likes are removed. So, yeah, it's very interesting, and it was gone for, like, such a short period of time that it didn't even settle in with me. Like, I was like, this is still so weird, you know, like, I didn't feel, it didn't become normal, you know, but I just, I've said this before, like, social media and, you know, isn't my full-time job, so I don't feel as kind of, you know, vulnerable in that way.
Yeah.
It's kind of just fun for me, but, yeah, very interesting. But I think there's going to be more things like that happen, that people are going to go, holy shit, you know, like, or something that becomes new, that's like an additional thing.
Yeah.
That people are like, oh my God, now you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, who knew, like, IGTV was going to be a thing? And or then, Instagram stories. Like, remember when they came out?
Exactly. It was like, what is this?
Yeah. And people, I was like, no, I love Snapchat. Like,
everyone's saying, no, I love Snapchat. Like, I'm going to keep it. But now, those people are now the biggest Instagram story.
Deep users, yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. I love Instagram stories.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Yeah.
Like, amazing.
Yeah. I just... It's like you wake up one day and then you open up your phone and something new is there.
Yeah. But it's constantly, like, it's really bringing you, and I know we're going off on a tangent, but, like, it's really bringing you into loads of different worlds. Like, you're seeing different worlds and different ways of life and different...
Yeah.
And I know that it's not, like, the full truth. Like, it's not exactly... Mm-hmm. People aren't showing everything, but you are seeing, like, people who are willing to be vulnerable on Instagram are, like, showing different things. So you're seeing that. You're seeing people lose weight. You're seeing people get reunited with families. Like, you're seeing all this. And it's, like, sometimes, like, it's a constant, like, flow of, like, life.
Exactly.
You know, like, life happenings.
And sometimes these are people.
If you're following the right people.
Exactly.
You know, like,
And sometimes these are people who you've never met before.
Right.
But you feel so connected to them.
Yeah.
You feel like you've met them.
Absolutely.
I mean, I did a partnership with Sorrel. And I met for their Mile Long Runway fashion show.
Yeah.
I met so many amazing girls that I follow on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And we were walking up to each other saying, hey, like, you're so-and-so on Instagram. Like, calling each other by each other's handle.
Yeah.
And it was just like, wow. Like, yeah. The power of Instagram for connecting us.
Yeah. I know. It's
and
amazing.
And I knew no one else there.
It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, and that's the thing, you knew no one else there, like you, and you kind of, but you did know people there.
Exactly.
You had
exactly.
already connected them. Exactly. It just wasn't in real life. And like when I moved to New York first, I had a lot of friends mm-hmm. online, and like technically, you know, people say, oh, you moved to New York on your own, whatever. Mm-hmm. But like there was so many girls like online that were open and having that conversation with me mm-hmm. about me moving and the visa process and like coming over and giving me ideas and connecting with me before mm-hmm. I even hit the ground yeah. here, that when I came over here, I actually did have a little bit of a start with friends
yeah,
and people connect
that.
You with other people. And it, you know, if I didn't have Instagram or social media, I wouldn't have.
It would be different.
It would be so different.
It would be really different.
So different.
Because it would all be based on day-to-day interaction.
Yeah.
Are you stopping to say hello to people?
Yeah,
or are
no,
you just,
no.
you know, are
like
you
my AirPods
just
are in like 90%
exactly.
of the time.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
It's but crazy.
Instagram, it has its advantages and disadvantages, mm-hmm. but
I don't really see a lot of disadvantages, though. I really just don't, and I get it. I get mm-hmm. this question a lot. Like, people are like, because I gave up Instagram for mm-hmm. 6 months, mm-hmm. and, you know, I recently spoke about it on a podcast that I was being interviewed on, and, like, people say to me, like, you know, that's such an achievement and everything else.
Yeah.
I was just like, fuck this. Like, I'm done, you know? Like, I was just, like, and I was going through a tough time, and I didn't want to lie or feel like I was making
yeah.
up things. And, like, I think when you're going through stuff, like, the first thing you do is kind of just keep your head down. Like, you kind of, for me anyway, I definitely, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. just close up, and I kind of, like, want to be by myself and everything. And that was, like, it to an extreme. Like, I didn't mm-hmm. even want to open mm-hmm. up to Instagram and to, like, my community there. But I don't really see much negativity.
Yeah, no, certainly not negativity.
Personally,
yeah.
like, I just don't
no,
feel...
not negativity.
Like, I'm like, you do you. Like,
yeah,
I don't, like,
exactly.
I don't need to be doing... I don't scroll and be like, oh, I should be doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Because everyone uses Instagram for their own different purpose.
Right.
There's
and
some
everyone's
people,
feeds, I suppose, looks different.
Exactly. It's curated
yeah.
to what suits them well.
Yeah.
You know, and there, I have friends who do influencing full-time, so... this is their job,
yeah.
you know, day to day to, you know, keep their audience, you know, interested
mm-hmm.
and like educate them on new things. And but there's also people who they just have Instagram for fun. Like
yeah.
they're just scrolling through it, but they also have full-time jobs that they're really passionate about.
Yeah.
So sometimes Instagram may be a bit of a distraction throughout the day for them.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any negative,
yeah.
like, you know, drawback from
it. It depends. Yeah. I suppose it really depends on like the person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, not unless we're talking about bullying,
mm-hmm.
that's certainly a negative
right.
part of it.
Yeah, but I think 2020, like, I don't think that people are bullying. Like, I've seen photos of people on Instagram who have looked better,
mm-hmm.
you know, like there's
mm-hmm.
obvious, maybe they have, they don't have makeup on or they've gained weight, you know,
yeah,
I'm talking about
yeah.
like a physical, something physical that you would notice. And like, I've noticed it, but like in the comments, they're like,
mm-hmm.
go you, like you do your thing. And like
yeah,
all
yeah.
that I'm seeing is like, no matter what, if somebody's having an off day and they
mm-hmm.
share it, people are like, yeah, they're totally
yeah.
open to it and supportive. I
yeah.
feel like there's no place for people being nasty or mean or
mm-hmm.
or critical in this day and age.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think that if you're a celebrity, you're still experiencing
yeah.
both sides of the
yeah.
field. Like, there's people who love you and they're leaving hearts, but then there are people who are criticizing
yeah.
you and leaving nasty comments.
Yeah,
I mean, we may not see it. It may not be visible to our
mm-hmm.
feeds, but again, stepping outside of what, like, our day-to-day
mm-hmm.
and, like, what we view, it's happening to other people
yeah.
that we probably can't see.
Bigger, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. People, like, question a lot of the stuff that, like,
mm-hmm.
if I put up something, they're, like, it's
yeah.
not, like, necessarily, like,
yeah.
nasty, but it's, like, questioning it. You know, like, why would you not do this, this, this? And it's just, like...
Are you receiving that in your DMs?
Yeah. And it's, like, not necessarily nasty, but it's just, like, well, it's not your, you know, it's not your decision. People definitely have a
yeah.
lot to say, and they can be, I suppose, critical.
Absolutely.
Or have, like, very open, like, you know, opinions.
Because I think people feel like, if you're showing me, then I'm going to show you my opinion about it.
Right. Yeah.
It's...
I know, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think it's that mindset. Well, I can leave an opinion about it now.
Yeah, if I want. Yeah.
Yeah, since you're showing me.
Yeah. So how do you identify those like different trends in the industry? Do you have any way to like, you know, aside from the campaigns that you're working on, you mentioned TikTok as like, that was something that was up and coming and your whole team was working together. So you have a part of, you know, your work that you do to identify the trends.
Yeah. So just touching base on like what we were talking about earlier, about our strategy team. It's a new team that's been developed to the like the Collectively organization, and I think that they set up our clients' work for success like through a combination of like research and just coming to the table with like their insights, their creativity, and being able to look at things from a different angle from the work that I do.
Yeah.
So for example, like when I dived into that TikTok program, me, I'm just kind of like looking through the app and like I need to find people. But they're looking at how can a TikTok program like benefit our brand partners? Like, how can we put our brand partners in a position where they're doing work that they've never done before?
Yeah.
And that client that we worked with, they're excited to do another TikTok campaign.
It's
just nice that at Collectively, we have so many dedicated teams who are like dedicated to that process of bringing a successful campaign like to fruition. So it kind of like starts with like our brand partnerships team. Then we have our collaborations team, community team, strategy team. We also have like an insights team
who
really dives into that data, and it kind of all brings it full circle.
Right.
And it just helped me develop a stronger understanding of like what other people do, like what their day-to-day consists of, but how we can work cross-functionally.
Yeah. That's interesting. It's very, I'm sure it's very important to like the work that you're doing, and especially if you're pitching a business.
But it also feels good to know that you have other team members that you can go to, you know, who are a bit more knowledgeable in certain areas that you may not be, you know, but they're willing to help and they're willing to educate you.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, like, this industry is, it's trial and error until we find the best practice. It's a lot of, like, you're waking up one day, there's a new platform. So it's like, okay, we need to talk about this. Like, we need to talk about it before, like, our brand partners, like, talk to us about it. So it's just about educating yourself every single day.
Yeah.
And I mean, and then I also feel like, when you're in this industry, you're just curious. You're curious about, like, what's new, what's going to happen. So we individually, like, share news and trends with each other, like, on Slack. And you just learn little bits and pieces every single day.
Yeah.
About something new that's happening.
Yeah. But going back to your point, like, stepping outside of, like, your day-to-day.
Yeah.
Or, like, what you're consuming and actually go and take a deeper dive. What do you think influencers can do better? So like there may be influencers listening to this, or you know, in terms of brand partnerships, you know, how can somebody maybe who's just starting out can kind of start creating a profile for themselves, or knowing what you know and knowing the data that you know, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't, kind of what kind of advice would you give to somebody who is looking to start building, you know, an online profile or to become an Instagram influencer or social media influencer, to be more broad. Is there any kind of tidbits that you would say?
Yeah, definitely. I would say number one, identify what type of content you want to put out in the world.
Right.
Like, just take a moment to think about, like, what's my purpose? Like, what am I trying to sell here, or how am I trying to connect with my audience?
Right.
Because I think sometimes we get so caught up on posting different things that we don't even know, like, what's our goal here? Like, are we more fashion focused? Are we more beauty focused? Do we want to create longer in-depth captions that kind of like we're talking to our audience? So I think just number one, take a moment to think about what you want to put out in the world, and then you can get into, okay, the steps that I can do that.
Yeah.
So we have sampling programs, and I know that for, you know, there's influencers who are listening to this, and you may not want to work on a sampling campaign because, of course, you want to be paid for your work.
Yeah.
But this is specifically, like, you know, targeting those who are just trying to get their foot in the door.
Right.
I mean, you want brands to notice you, and you want them to notice your capabilities.
Yeah.
And I think with sampling programs, well, not I think, I know with sampling programs, you can go from creating content for a brand in exchange for products, and that brand can be just like wowed or amazed by the type of content you're doing, and it can lead to a paid partnership at some time.
Yeah.
Because our sampling, our, you know, the content that we receive from our sampling programs, they're shared with our brand partners.
Yeah.
They're not just in some pile of photos just living there.
Yeah.
Like, we share the results of that campaign with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think number one, investing in that. Also pitching brands, mm-hmm. like not being afraid to pitch brands. Like,
yeah.
So what if you're a smaller, you know, if you're a bit on like the smaller end when it comes mm-hmm. to followers, but if you know that you have something to offer,
yeah,
make that known, you
yeah.
know, don't wait for opportunity to come to you. I think
yeah.
you have to go out there and get what you want.
Yeah.
So build a list of these are the brands that I want to target.
Yeah. And we've spoken about this before
yeah.
and you've been successful. Like
yeah.
I want to like call out Fatima because she's talking about this now. But she has been successful herself in doing that and pitching out brands and
yeah.
securing the deal, you know, because you're authentic in your delivery mm-hmm. and your intention of what you want to do.
Exactly.
That's a really
exactly.
good point.
But I also think it took me some time to get there because
mm-hmm.
I was so, like, my mindset was so on, okay, well, maybe I don't have enough followers. Maybe I need to wait until I, like, get to 3K and then, it
mm-hmm.
like, it'll look better.
Mm-hmm.
But then I thought, you know what? Like, I use this specific brand all the time. So I just put together an email.
Yeah.
I put together examples of here's all the times that I've worn your label.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an example of the work that I can do for you.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, I got a response in 4 hours.
Yeah.
And that was the little motivation I needed that I can continue doing
right.
this because I'm confident in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I know the value in what
yeah.
I'm putting out there.
Yeah. Because it's you put a lot of work into it. And
exactly.
There's a creative kind of vision behind it all. And,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
somebody is willing to pay for that.
Yeah.
Brands are willing to pay for that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I also had to go in that mindset of, okay, like, what do I want to portray on my Instagram? And I think that working
yeah.
in influencer marketing has allowed me to reevaluate the type of work that I want to put out there.
Right.
The image that I'm going to put out there. Because every single day, I'm evaluating other people's content in
yeah.
their Instagram profiles.
Yeah.
So maybe I need to reevaluate myself, too.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm always doing because I think that there are so many ways to just, like, reinvent and rework things and... Like, it's all about growth for me.
Yeah.
It's all about growth.
Yeah. So how do you, like, is there things, you're evaluating somebody, is there, like, you know, you're talking about
mm-hmm.
evaluating yourself. How do you identify that vision? Is it, like, your content that's most true to you? Like, do you
mm-hmm.
ask yourself, is this
mm-hmm.
something that aligns with, you know, my, you know, vision and my kind of, like,
mm-hmm.
ideas? Is that how you kind of...
Yeah, I
navigated it.
Yeah, you know, a friend was telling me that you have to be able to understand, like, what people follow you for a reason, right?
Yeah.
So understand, like, why they're following you. And I think a lot of people follow me because I wear different pieces that no one else would think to, like, match together
yeah.
or wear together, like my eyeshadows,
yeah.
like matching my shirt. So I feel like I, like, that's just naturally me.
Yeah.
So it's like I want to put more of that out there. Like,
right.
I want to inspire other people that you can step out of your comfort zone and you can wear whatever you want. Like,
yeah.
you can do whatever you want and you can feel good about it.
Yeah.
So I think for me, it's about understanding, like, wow, like, people, like, really react to that. Like, they want to
yeah.
see, like, more of this.
Yeah.
And it's like, I want to give them more.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
because it's fun for me. It doesn't feel like a job. Like, I'm creating this just so you can like it.
Yeah.
It's like, girl, I'm getting dressed to go to work today.
Yeah, yeah,
so
exactly.
So I'm already
yeah.
wearing this outfit. I'm just
yeah.
going to create the content. I'm just going to create the content for you to see.
Yeah.
It, but I was going to wear it
yeah.
regardless.
I didn't work for you. I don't even need to work for those likes.
Yeah, so I think it just, like, came down to me, like, understanding, like what works
yeah.
for my platform.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just about doing, like, what feels fun, what
mm-hmm.
feels authentic, what doesn't feel like I'm being so hard on myself about.
Yeah, yeah, it feels natural to you.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah. It's making me, like, think about everything as well. Like, I'm like, I need to reevaluate myself. I need to do a Fatima and, like, reevaluate. All right, well, thank you. I think we've, you know, covered a lot of various things and
yeah.
Talked about, you know, some topical things as well. Is there anything else you want to add before we leave off?
I just want to say...
Oh? I thought you were going to say no.
No, but just thank you so much for having
Aww.
Me. It just... I'm having like flashbacks of us like being in the office together, yes. like late night, we're the only two people in the office talking.
Yes, I forgot about that. Oh my God, yeah.
Talking, and it's like, look at where we are today. Like, it's just so nice seeing you like evolve and grow. And like you said, I want to create a podcast one day, and it's like, here we are.
I know.
This isn't your first episode.
I know.
You know,
I think this is episode 16 now.
Wow, you are like deep into this. So it's just nice to sit across from someone who I respect.
I know,
and
I'm vice
feel
versa.
Like I'm continuing to learn from.
Yes, well, thank you so much for being my guest and being so open to talk about your work, because I know it's not always easy. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to be on your game, and because you respect so much what you do. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate you coming on and being so open and vocal, because personally, I have a soft spot for Collectively. I think the work that you do is amazing, and I think you guys are one of the best in the game,
and I trust it.
So I think that I appreciate you coming on and chatting from that perspective.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a truly rewarding journey, I must say.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad to hear you're enjoying it too.